TCJ Radio International presents Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
You mentioned the name Albert Einstein, and probably many people, if not most, will connect that to Princeton University in New Jersey in the United States. Well, being originally from New Jersey, I don't mind. I'm proud of my home state. But also being Swiss, I would like to set the record straight, because Albert Einstein was also a Swiss citizen. And what may not be so evident and clear is that some of the most important work he did in relativity, developing the so-called special theory of relativity, was done right here where I'm sitting, not in this room, but in this city. It is the Swiss capital, Bern. And we have the privilege, and it's been a while, Dr. Alan Held, physicist, mathematician, philosopher, and also Einsteinian, to use that expression. Einstein has been your passion for many years. Alan Held is a specialist in Einstein. And you just retired recently from the University of Bern, where you taught and worked since 1973. Yes. You've been in Switzerland a long time. You also married a Swiss woman, and you call this home. Why Switzerland? What brought you over here from your native Canada, from Montreal? And what made you stay here all this time?
Oh, well, that was easy. I was offered a job here, and I came, which is the best reason for coming. And once I got here, and the job turned permanent, I decided that was fine with me, because after several years, I decided that there was nobody that could offer me a job for which I would leave. I was really quite happy here.
And it was a good institution to work for, the University of Bern?
Yes, yes. We were very privileged in the sense that we were not under the publisher-perish syndrome. People left us to do our own thinking and do as we wanted.
It sounds a bit like the old school of academia.
Most probably.
The ETH, as it's called, the German letters, or in English, the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. There are two of them. There's one in Zurich, and there's one in Lausanne. They're specialized in different fields. But our old friend Albert Einstein taught in Zurich and taught in your institution in Bern. He spent important years of his life here in the Swiss capital.
Yes, in fact, probably maybe the most productive years of his life were actually spent here working in the patent office, the famous patent office, where he was able to do his own thinking without having duties other than what for him were certainly simple duties of looking at people's patents and saying, no, this perpetual machine doesn't work.
But it was a bit of fun for him, I understand. He would get his mind focused on this and try to find out the essence of the idea, to sort of mentally take it apart, which seemed certainly in keeping with character.
I suspect he did that with everything. He asked himself questions.
He asked the question, why, and how does this work? Like a child.
Probably his most famous question he asked himself was, well, what would happen if I were traveling at the speed of light? And the answer led to, well, what we call relativity.
And that was formulated right here in Bern. But there are two theories of relativity, Alan. Yeah. One is called the special theory of relativity. That's what made Einstein famous, certainly this connection to Bern. And the other one is the so-called general theory of relativity. They're not the same. What is the essential difference?
Okay, the essential difference is really, one is a geometrical theory and the other is not. In the first theory, he had all the experiments were available. People knew there was something going on. The equations were available. And it just lacked an Einstein to put it all together and to realize that the problem was that time did not move at a constant rate in all frames of references, as he called it.
Time was not a constant value in the universe, as some people thought.
That's right. It was assumed that time went at the same rate no matter where you were, or, which is more important, no matter how fast you were moving. And he was able to show that all these seeming contradictions could be put together if you assumed that, well, time was not constant. A clock running, say, in a rocket ship going to the moon would not run at the same rate as a clock sitting on the Earth.
This has actually been proved since, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it's been proved. There's no question of this sort of thing. Now, special relativity has been proven thousands upon thousands of times. Every time an experiment is done, unfortunately, every time an atomic bomb goes off, it's a proof of special relativity as well.
That famous equation, E equals mc squared, energy is equal to mass multiplied by the square of light. Yes. Now, it seems very simple, but it's absolutely genial, if you consider it, and way beyond most of us to understand. Do even mathematicians have difficulty understanding the concept behind it?
Yeah, it's really not that difficult a thing to understand once you see the mathematics.
There's more behind it than just that simple equation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the equation comes out when you understand how special relativity works, how you describe things in this four-dimensional world. That's important. Fourth dimension being time. Until then, the world was basically three-dimensional plus one, so to speak, but they weren't interconnected. And he showed that they really were interconnected, and that when you moved in a different frame of reference, you actually mixed the time and the space coordinates. And when you understand the mathematics of this, it turns out that this E equals mc squared just pops out. And then you have to interpret it, of course. You have to say, well, is this possible? And he said, yes, it's possible.
I think immediately of the ongoing experiments and the great work that's being done at CERN, for example, the Center for European Particle Research in Geneva. Mm-hmm. They're doing this all the time, really. They're proving this. And every new experiment seems to add to the long list of proofs that this works.
Yeah, well, nobody even worries about that anymore. The only people who worry about that are people who think that they've made a discovery that it's wrong and are going to get the Nobel Prize by return mail. They're not going to.
They're trying to prove Einstein wrong, yes. And they can't.
Yeah. Einstein is a symbol of science. And not only that, one of the things that caught the public attention was that you could say things that were going to happen according to special relativity, which were against your physical intuition. For instance, the famous twin paradox, where one twin gets in the rocket ship and goes off for a couple of years in his ship at near the speed of light. When he comes back, his twin is long dead. And the world has changed. He's gone for maybe 100 or 150 years.
And the space traveler comes back as a young man.
That's right. He has hardly aged at all, where the world around him has aged maybe centuries or hundreds of years. And this goes counter to our physical intuition. And this made Einstein a sort of a target for people to say, this can't be right. And so people spend a lot of time trying to prove him wrong. But it's been proven so often now with experiments that nobody in the field even gives it a second thought.
The basics of the special theory of relativity, the one that made Einstein great and famous. But what about the other one, the general theory? How does that compare?
Well, the general theory is a tremendous intellectual leap. It may or may not have been done by somebody else, but there's a good chance it would have taken about 50 years probably, because it may be the deepest thought that's ever been produced by mankind. That's, of course, a personal prejudice. There you have an interaction between the gravitational field and the geometry of space. The only effect that we have really available in the solar system is the orbit of Mercury, which, according to Newtonian physics, should be a little bit different than it is. Very, very small amount. And this was the open question. And Einstein showed that under his theory, this could be explained. And one of the things that happens in the general theory is that time moves at a different rate in gravitational fields, in heavy gravitational fields, for instance. Now, in order to visualize this, you have to be either in the neighborhood of the sun or you have to be talking about stars. But that's a different time effect to the effect that we were talking about in special relativity.
If we can put it this way, which of the theories is considered valid today? Is it only the special theory?
Okay. There's a big problem in modern physics. There are two major theories of the 20th century now, and one is quantum mechanics and the other is the general theory of relativity. And as far as one can see in their own areas, both are proper. That is, if you talk about the universe and heavy masses, the general relativity is agreed upon, let's say. The most accurate measurement in physics today is from general relativity. It has to do with something called the binary pulsar, which is radiating energy according to the theory of Einstein.
This is one of these stars, which is very reliable and very precise, and also very powerful.
Yeah, it's two stars rotating around each other, and the period is actually picking up speed as it loses energy. And there's a theory, an equation of Einstein called the quadrupole formula, which tells you how much energy should be lost, and that seems to work to 10, 12 decimal places now. I don't know how many they're up to. On the other hand, it would seem in the area of the very, very, very small, the two theories don't agree. That is, you can't, at the moment, quantize general relativity. And yet it's clear that quantum theory also works. We have also many, many experiments. I mean, nobody doubts quantum mechanics. It may not be a complete theory, but as it stands now, it works. The problem is to reconcile these two theories. And at the moment, this is, to many people, the major problem facing physics today. And somehow, they have to combine to give one theory. But take Newton's theory. Newton's theory is valid for all intentional purposes. And the same with general relativity. For all intents and purposes that we know, it's valid. It's only when you get into this area of very, very small distances and very, very strong forces that something is not quite right and that the two theories can't be reconciled.
Let's look a little bit at Albert Einstein, the man, before we get lost in all the theory, which is not easy for most of us to understand. Did he like it here? Did he say much about it?
He claims that the happiest days of his life were spent here. Now, this, of course, appears in a book on Einstein in Bern. But it probably has a degree of truth in it. He was under no great pressure here because his job in the patent office was not an intellectual challenge particularly. He probably made one out of it, but for him it was nothing. And it enabled him to work on what he wanted to, not have to worry about classes too much, not have to worry about producing papers. And the result was a Nobel Prize.
Living just up the street from the famous bear pit, the Battergrabe in local dialect, I think Einstein was a visitor down there. He found it amusing to watch the bears and brought some of his visitors down there too.
Well, as I understand it, he would bring them down and they would look at the bears, and every so often a bear would look up at them and Einstein would say, "Hey, that bear is thinking."
Not with the head down like all the rest. That one's an individual is doing some of his own thinking. Relativity touches on a number of things. It's not simply mathematics. It's also physics. It's astrophysics. It's quantum physics. It's philosophy as well.
Yes. In fact, there was even a movement in art, I think, that was sort of based on relativity at the time. It's because of this idea that it upset a lot of what people intuitively thought to be true.
Dr. Alan Held, a retired instructor at the University of Bern, where Albert Einstein also worked. He lived in this city, the Swiss capital, where he originated his special theory of relativity. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
You were just listening to Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti. For more information, go to www.switzerlandinsound.com.